How many of you got to see the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas last night? The old movie was on last night. Oh, yes, Virginia saw it. Thank you. Luann, did you watch it? You saw it this week. Wonderful. Well, the How the Grinch Stole Christmas has been a classic book since its publication in 1957. Can you believe it's been that long? And before that, the Grinch was actually introduced in 1955 in a poem in Red Book in the magazine. So what might surprise you to know about this book is that How the Grinch Stole Christmas is actually autobiographical. Dr. Seuss himself is the Grinch. In the Grinch's description of the festivities down in Whoville, he comments, "Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming, but how?" Theodore Seuss Geisel was 53 years old when he published the book, which he started writing on December 26, 1956. In an interview for Red Book, he disclosed his frustration with the commercialization of Christmas. He also shared that his wife, Helen, was very ill at the time. A children's author in her own right, Helen and Ted met at Oxford. She struggled with illnesses for 13 years until eventually dying by suicide in 1967. Ted Geisel had a reason for being the Grinch, even if the Grinch never shared his reason for hating Christmas as much as he did. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. I know I'm no Boris, but I wonder if there are some parts of this season that you dislike. Maybe those annoyances are what allow us to identify with the Grinch, to feel like our hearts might be two sizes too small to welcome Christmas this year. There are many of us grieving this season, which also makes it hard to join in the joy and frivolity going on all around us. Before the Halloween candy had gone on sale, did you notice that Christmas items were on the shelves and music was playing in the stores? We're not ready, but Christmas is coming anyway. The suffering that Geisel was experiencing and the Grinch's hatred are complex realities with no definitive answers as to why. Why are college students being shot on a bus? Why are bars that cater to the LGBTQ community targets for violence? Why do 15-year-olds die unexpectedly? Why do people like Helen Geisel and others that we know and love take their own lives? There simply aren't clear, definitive answers to our most difficult question, why? In the same way, Advent begins in the church, not with joyous celebrations, but with the reality of sin and suffering in the world, the need for a Messiah. That's where we begin. The beginning of the story doesn't need to make sense. It just is. We don't know why. We just know that there is a need to turn everything on its head, whether we're ready for it or not. And there's a lot of pressure during this season. Do any of you feel the pressure? I'm looking at Christina. She helps so many of our schools as well as our church in this time of year. Do you feel pressure this season? I see some young ones going, no, not really. Oh, that it will stay that way forever, I hope for you. But there's pressure on pastors and worship teams to make this Christmas the most beautiful and meaningful ever. There's pressure on parents and grandparents to pamper the children and to make memories that will last a lifetime. There's pressure on hosts and hostesses to throw the most extravagant parties and still get to enjoy it yourself, by the way. I still haven't figured that one out. Have you ever experienced unmet expectations during this time of year? Maybe you've failed to meet the expectations of others at Christmas. Was it because the expectations were too extravagant? Was someone simply underwhelmed? Was your vision embarrassingly off the mark? The Grinch certainly met some unmet expectations. He thought that stealing away the presents and decorations and food would all stop Christmas from coming. He was certain of that. He was so certain that as he sat atop Mount Crumpet, he paused before dropping everything over the side because he wanted to hear the cries of the people. He wanted to hear the weeping and the wailing when they realized that everything was gone. Why didn't his plan work? Why did the outcome fall so short of his expectations? And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Jeremiah received an unexpected call from God and exclaimed, "But I'm just a boy." Mary echoes this when she asks how she's supposed to have a baby when she is just a girl. They're just children. But God and Gabriel help them understand that it is God who will be with them, giving them the wisdom and the strength, everything they need to carry out their mission. You see, sometimes there is pressure on kids. Jeremiah would proclaim to the Jews in exile in Babylon and to the surrounding nations the power of God and God's intent to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah was proclaiming God was doing something new. In Mary's Magnificat, she also echoes this call in recognizing that God has chosen her and this child to scatter the proud, to bring down the powerful and lift up the lowly. Who'da thunk? The incarnate word of God would set the world on its head. But there will be a lot of unmet expectations along the way, because God does not operate in expected ways. God chooses unexpected prophets like Jeremiah and Mary. God comes as a vulnerable baby. Instead of an overpowering Greek god striking down enemies with lightning bolts, the Grinch shows us that unmet expectations are sometimes the very thing we need. When Christmas still came without the presents and the decorations and the roast beast, the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes. But do you remember how small his heart was? It was only two sizes too small. It outgrew the par. It was just what he needed. The birth of God's son to a poor Galilean girl was not what anyone expected. Her laying him in a manger was not expected either. And yet the manger is the throne of God, and it is disarming. We hear that the Messiah will be the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then, like the shepherds, we find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we are amazed and totally disarmed. That's the thing about love. Love reveals when pride has gotten the best of us. Love humbles us. Love shows us where our expectations are simply all wrong. But love never tires of making sure that we are valued and that we are precious and that we are God's own. The Whos do not resent the Grinch. They welcome him. They forgive him. They reconcile with him. They show him love. And the least shall be made first. They give him a place of honor at the table, and he's the one who carves the roast beast. The Whos are peacemakers. Christ is the Prince of Peace. Peace begins at home, within our own hearts. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love yourself, it will be very difficult for you to love someone else. Just like the Grinch, who was so distorted by his own hatred that he was unable to see Christmas for what it truly is. So what does your life communicate about God? How do you, in your walking around everyday life, communicate God's love? What does our church communicate about God? What do our ministries tell people about God? What are the distorted things about our lives that need redeeming? Expectations that need to be checked. How will we get from this first Sunday of Advent, a season of anticipation, of waiting, how will we get from here to the table, to Christmas? And who will we invite to join us? What peace needs to be made in your heart this Christmas? We'll be going all through Advent. We'll be using a book that I found called The Heart That Grew Three Sizes. And we'll be talking about how our faith is informed by the story of the Grinch. So I hope you'll enjoy the rest of this worship series. You know, Dr. Seuss got stuck when he was writing this book. On the ending, he said the beginning of it was really easy and kind of came quickly to him. He said it was the easiest book he ever wrote. But when it got to the ending, he says, quote, "I got into a situation where I sounded like a second-rate preacher or some Bible thumper. Finally, in desperation, without making any statement whatever, I showed the Grinch and the Whos together at the table." It is at the table where we receive God's promise. It is at this table where we lay down our differences, where we eat and drink together at Christ's holy banquet with the saints gathered all around. And it is at this table where we lay our offerings, which unite us in our gratitude to God, our commitment to one another, and our hope for peace that might come from these gifts.